greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on raw milk updates when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds. They're the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights. And permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can we do to protect our lives, our liberties, and our properties from these incessant attacks by government agencies like OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about this thing called private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we took up the challenge here of real milk. Now, there is an outfit called Real Milk on the Internet. It's called Real Milk Articles. And so we went to the Internet and we pulled off a series of them, 13 of them, as a matter of fact. And you can go and pick up these articles yourself if you've got a computer, which most of you do. And it's www.realmilk.com. Simple enough. R-E-A-L-M-I-L-K.com. And it's one of many, but it's one good source to tell you more about raw milk and what it's all about, what the controversy is all about. Back around the turn of the century, 1900, there was a great controversy over this thing of pasteurized versus raw milk. It was discovered in New York City that 8,000 babies a year were dying from disease that was caused by drinking raw milk. And so, didn't, you know, take a rocket scientist to figure out we got to stop drinking this raw milk if we don't want these 8,000 babies to die. So they needed a solution, and the solution was fairly simple. Just boil the milk, and presto, change-o, it kills the bacteria, the harmful bacteria, and therefore you won't die from a cholera or typhoid fever or something else. And it worked. It worked. Boys and girls, today, 100 years later, we can sit back and say, wow, you know, that's the solution that worked. Now, there was another problem that was developed or invented at the same time. It's called degenerative disease. Here's what happened. When you boil the milk, which, by the way, we're told in the Bible not to do. That's right. God, your creator, he told you not to boil milk. It says, you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. It's not against the law to eat goat meat or a lamb. It's against the law for you to eat goat meat boiled in milk. And that's because the milk then changes its character. Now, milk is the white blood cells of your blood. That's where that milk comes from. And it's very nutritious stuff. It was designed by, it didn't evolve now, it was designed by a master chemist and a designer that we commonly call God. And this master designer gave us milk as a food. And so when a baby is born, the first thing, you know, before Adam and Eve knew anything about Similac and baby formula and Gerber, they had nursing mothers. You know, Eve had breasts, and right out of her breasts came the food that Cain and Abel and Seth and everybody else that she had, and all of her babies drank. And that went on for thousands of years until Monsanto or somebody woke up and said, hey, listen, we're missing out on a hell of a business opportunity here. This breastfeeding is inconvenient, and therefore what we need is a baby formula over here so that mothers can dry themselves up and go to work in the workplace, and then we can send these kids over to daycare and give them a bottle of instant formula. So I mentioned the other day that we raise calves here, you know, on the farm. We raise lambs, and we do bucket lambs. We call them bucket calves. And they're always sick and scrawny and weak, and they never thrive and do well. You take one that's raised on the cow or on the ewe, they're just healthy as can be and no problem. Well, human beings are the same, you know. Most humans here in America are bucket calves, and they're sick and weak and scrawny, and they have to have pediatricians, and they're constantly sick and runny noses, and mothers evidently like that. They enjoy it, running down to the pediatrician every few days and getting some shots and back, and, you know, antibiotics and one thing and another. I guess it's fun, and they enjoy doing it. Now, there are some people out there that said, well, gee, what could we do now that we have been weaned off of breast milk and put on formula? What could we do to recover our health? And so last time I told you about a couple of health articles here from Real Milk. As it turns out, this milk designed by God is unique in that it has all of the nutrients that you have to have, all of them, 100%. Got them all. And if the cow is lacking in one of them, the saliva from the calf's mouth interacts with the receptors on the cow's teat, and it sends her a signal, and she'll run out and she'll eat whatever weeds are out there that she needs to eat in order to balance her diet to make sure that that trace element or that trace mineral is in her milk. Isn't that? I call it the miracle of random selection. Can you imagine how many millions of years it took cows and calves to develop that trait? Or can you imagine the genius behind the guy that invented that? Because I like to leave the calf on the cow. That's what I do here. See, I raise family milk cows. And I personally drink raw milk. And I do it for health reasons. And I'm not concerned about cholera and typhoid fever, and I don't boil and pasteurize my milk, and I drink that filthy stuff every day. And I'm pushing 70, I don't wear glasses, I don't need a hearing aid, and I can go out and do a day's work still, and I'm not running around in a walker, and I haven't died yet. And I attribute that primarily to raw milk. It's probably the most nutritious food ever invented by the mind of God. Milk. Probably the single most nutritious food. Now, there's a lot of good food out there. I'm not saying that bananas aren't good. Bananas have a lot of potassium in them, and then you've got spinach, and you get, you know, it's got calcium in it and so on. And there's 92 of these elements that you have to have. But the only food that I know of where the cow will actually go out and eat the food that needs to be eaten in order to create the balanced diet that you have to have for the offspring is the cow and milk. It's the only one I know of. So I like to leave the calf on the cow because that always signals the cow as to what it is she needs to eat in order for her to produce a 100% balanced food. Now, commercial dairies can't do this. I mean, come on, let's be intelligent people. You know, we're in business to make money. Farmers who produce milk are not there to produce a product that's nutritious. They're there to produce gallons of a product that they get paid so much a gallon to produce. It's an industrial product. Milk is an industrial product, and that's what you're drinking is an industrial product. And so, as a result of that, what happened after the boiling of milk became common, called pasteurization, is that it kills the enzyme that you have to have in the milk in order to digest it. So when you hear people tell you that milk is loaded with calcium and all these nutrients, they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth. The deception comes in when they don't tell you that pasteurization kills the enzyme that you have to digest the milk. And without the enzyme, you can't digest the milk. So the nutrients in the milk, primarily the calcium, isn't available to you. So you can drink all the milk you want, but it doesn't do you any good. It just passes right through your body, whole, undigested, because you don't have the enzyme that you have to digest it. And that was killed in the pasteurization process. So I mentioned to you last time, I said, now, there's no controversy concerning the knowledge of the quality of the pasteurized versus raw milk. All of the scientists that work for the CDC and the FDA and the Department of Agriculture, those are very intelligent and bright people. You know, people don't have PhD stuck after their name because they're dummies. Those people are very, very knowledgeable people, and they know both sides of the argument. See, the way this game is being played, milk is a $20 billion a year industry. And the people that control milk in this country aren't the dairy farmers. They just produce it. The people that control milk are the Mid-America Dairies, the Humboldt Creamery Association, Golden State Creamery Association. These are big businesses that have lots of money, and they send their representatives, they're called lobbyists, to your state legislatures in order to have legislation passed that enable them and to permit them to sell their product to you and then make money. That's the name of the game. And so when somebody comes along and they're trying to sell you raw milk, don't think for a moment that these people are ignorant and they don't understand the nutritional benefits of raw milk. Hell, they understand that better than you do. They're not in the business of selling nutrition. They're in the business of selling an industrial product for profit. And they're doing a hell of a job of it. Been doing it for 100 years. Make a lot of money at it. So when some upstart comes along and starts selling this raw milk, because see, this farmer says, well, this stuff is good for people, and I want to get out here and spread the word and send the message out here, and I want to help people. He's got his head up the wrong end of his anatomy, squirreling around with a $20 billion a year industry. You know, that isn't going to fly. Hell, we're not going to allow that, not in this country. I can't speak for Liechtenstein, you know, and San Marino or Vatican City or something, you know, but not in America. Not in America. We're not going to stand for that here. Business comes first. Health doesn't even come up on the radar screen. We don't give a rat's ass about health. Come on, grow up. Smell the coffee. So when you go out there and you start selling this raw milk, you are going to encourage the wrath of the CDC and the FDA and the Department of Agriculture and Mid-America Dairymen and everybody else that's in the business of selling this industrial product called pasteurized milk. That's all. It's nothing personal. It's just business. Now, there's a way to sell raw milk. There's a way for you if you want raw milk. You know, just like there's a way. If you want cocaine, heroin, marijuana, you can get it. It's on the black market. Now, fortunately, every state in the union makes provision for you to drink raw milk. That's right. Every state has provision for you to drink raw milk. You can go buy a cow, feed your cow, milk your cow, and drink the milk. That's what I do. I looked at this problem years ago, and I said, what this country needs is more milk cows, more individual family milk cows. Everybody in America should have a milk cow. Every family in America should have a milk cow. Instead of having dairies with 9,000 cows, we should have 9,000 families with 9,000 cows. And everybody in those 9,000 families goes out and milks their 9,000 cows, one cow at a time, one family at a time, and you diversify the business. You take it out of the hands of the multinational corporations. That's the solution to the problem. So I started working on that years ago, and I sell family milk cows. And every state in the union provides for that. All right. Now somebody's going to write me a letter and say, well, Mr. Gordon, I live in the Bronx, and here in my condominium on South Jones Street, we don't have room for a cow. Well, okay, Bob, have you ever thought about moving the hell out of New York City and getting yourself a piece of ground someplace and living like you were intelligent? I mean, it's just a wild thought, you know, for you city people out there. All right, now, the reason people move to the city is because they want to make money. Just like the dairymen, they want to make money. And so everybody is in the business of making money, and nobody wants to do the work. We want to make money, and we want somebody else to do the work. We want somebody else to milk the cow. Well, okay, I hear you. And in fact, if I had a source of milk that I knew was clean and reliable and dependable and nutritious and so on, I wouldn't milk a cow either. I mean, I'm not totally stupid. You know, I have to get up, you know, in the morning, and I got to go out and milk my cow every day, and it ties me down, and I can't leave because that cow has to be milked every day, every day, every day. You know, 300 days a year, you know, and then she's got to be dried up. And it takes time, effort, and energy to do that. And so all of us would rather hire somebody to do that. Now, when we did that back in 1900, we tested it, and it failed then, and I doubt that it's going to work any better today. But what happened was we moved to the city back in 1890, and then we didn't have milk, and so we wanted milk. And so there were good folks out there that would milk cows and bring the milk into town and sell it to you. And of course, they weren't interested in the quality of the milk. They're just interested in the gallons that they produce, which is why I told you in the last program, I said, I never met a dairyman that would drink the milk out of his own bulk tank. And I'm one of them. I wouldn't drink that crap out of my own bulk tank. Now, the dairyman, you know, he drinks milk too, but he gets it out of his own cow. He has a special cow. He brings her in. He doesn't milk her in the pipeline. He milks her in the bucket. And it takes that milk in the house and drinks it. Which is why I said every family in America needs to have their own milk cow, because then if you produce dirty milk, you're drinking your own dirty milk. If it makes you sick, that's your problem in life. It doesn't affect anybody else. But when I'm milking my cow and I don't care about you, and I milk and I produce a product, a dirty product, that raw milk can be the vehicle to spread disease. We've already been through that. And so instead of cleaning up the milk, back in 1900, they said, well, producing clean milk takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. That takes a lot of labor. That takes work, sweat. We don't want to do that. We want to produce dirty milk, but we don't want it to kill people, so let's pasteurize it, which now introduces degenerative disease, heart attack, stroke. Here's a little problem you get from pasteurizing and homogenizing milk. It breaks down the fat particles. They go through your stomach lining and lodge in your arteries and creates atherosclerosis. We have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease in the world here in the United States. We also drink more milk than anybody else in the world. We also eat more fat than anybody else in the world. If God told us not to eat fat, and which he did, we make it a point to put 30% fat in our hamburger, 40% in the hot dogs, and then wonder why we have cardiovascular disease. Now, again, the butter fat now mentioned in the Bible is something different than the animal fat that you find on the animal. There is an enzyme in the butter fat that will break it down, digest it, and give you all the nutrients that that calf is getting. And it was designed that way by God so that human beings could drink milk when they're 90 years old, which is a little different than the average guy that writes me a letter. He says, don't you know that milk is only for infants? No, I didn't know that. Bob, God, thank you for sending me a letter and letting me know that milk is only for infants. Yes, yes, it's true. And when a calf is weaned, he doesn't drink milk anymore. He only eats grass. But then I'm not an animal, Bob. That was a story that you got when you were in the first grade when they told you that you were an animal, just like cows and chickens and dogs and pigs. It's not true. You were created in the image of God. You're a cut above animals, Bob. And you were designed to drink milk all of your life, Bob. And I got that right straight from the Creator himself, Bob. So let me tell you. Now, the controversy between this raw milk and the pasteurized milk has been going on for 100 years. The pasteurization people won the game, hands down. By 1950, they had shut down all of the commercial raw milk operations in the country, save for a few. Georgia's got a couple of dairies, and California's got a couple. But for practical purposes, raw milk in this country is past tense. That's old story. It's an old story. So don't be concerned about that. If you want raw milk today, you can get it, but you're going to have to buy it on the black market or produce it yourself. Now, there's another little kicker that comes into the end of the controversy here. How can I buy raw milk? Well, a lot of guys came up with some innovative ideas, and they said, well, you can label it pet milk. And so, yeah, you can do that. Sure, just go out to the family dairy and say, hey, I want to buy some pet milk, and then label the container pet milk and take it home, feed it to your kids. You can do that all day long. Now, some innovative legislators, I believe it was in Georgia or Carolina, said, well, we gotta dye this stuff for dogs and cats so that it'll wreck it for humans. You see, the people at the CDC, the dairymen and all the rest of them, they want to discourage you from drinking raw milk. There's a controversy out here. You got the advocates for raw milk, they're trying to get you to drink it, and then you got the anti-raw milk advocates over here trying to discourage you from drinking it. And so you need to ask yourself, well, what's the motivation for these people? Well, both sides of them are trying to sell product and make money. That's what the contest is all about. Now, when you go to the Real Milk articles, and I'm not trying to get you to drink raw milk. A lot of times, you know, I get letters in here and they accuse me of being an advocate for one guy or another. And that's not the motivation here on the Law Hour. We take controversial subjects and we research them out, and then we give you a report on them. And it just happens that raw milk is a controversial subject for which we've researched it out, and now we're giving you the report. Now, when you look at the nutritional value of raw milk compared to pasteurized milk, it's like comparing garbage that comes out of the kitchen to the food that comes out of the kitchen and goes on the table. The garbage goes out the back door of the restaurant, and the food goes out through the swinging doors onto the tables of the patrons. And that's about the difference between raw and pasteurized milk. Pasteurized milk is garbage. It's bad for your health. And there are all kinds of outbreaks of disease that come from pasteurized milk every year that don't even get reported. You don't hear about that. Hell, they cover that up. But you let somebody get sick, you know, from E. coli or something, you know, on your spinach, and God, it just makes the national head, kills one or two people. Hell, we kill that many people here in our local area in traffic accidents, for crying out loud. Now, nobody's interested in the number of people that die from it. What they're interested in is the shock value that we can get in the contest for selling the product. Always remember that we're here to sell this product. All right, so both sides are trying to sell you their product. Now, I told you last time, I said, not all raw milk is equal. If you're getting raw milk that comes out of cows that are fed on a feedlot with bypass protein, you're getting garbage. It's better garbage than the pasteurized milk that comes off the same feedlot. But, you know, garbage is garbage is garbage, and if you want to drink garbage, that's your choice in life, but I wouldn't. Drink milk that came out of a cow that's being given bypass protein, nor would I drink the milk that came off of a cow that's living in a feedlot. And I pointed that out. See, a cow, remember, when that calf sucks on her tit, that cow will go out if there's any weeds available that contain that micronutrient that the cow needs, she'll eat it. I've watched cows eat here on the farm, and hell, they'll stand on their hind legs and get up into a tree and eat oak leaves, for crying out loud. Yeah, they'll stand on their hind legs to reach up to get oak leaves off of a tree. Now, that calf signaled the cow that whatever's in those oak leaves she needed and should go get it. All right, now, that taste also comes through the milk. The milk has a very very sensitive taste to it. If the cow is eating dogweed, you'll get that dogweed taste. If they're eating onions, they'll get the onion taste. So the commercial dairymen limit the cows to what they can eat. They can only eat grass, clover, alfalfa, hay, and then they got to be very careful that they never let their cows out on pasture, and they'll go spray their pastures to kill any noxious weeds that are out there that the calf or the cow might get into. That's to deliver a uniform product to you. Now, the downside to this spraying of the pastures and pasteurizing and homogenizing the milk and chemical fertilizers that we're putting on our pastures and so on, and the limitations of the food produces disease in the cows, and it produces a bad diseased product, which is then cleaned up by pasteurization and sold to you, which gives you a degenerative disease like cancer, heart attack, stroke, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and so on and on it goes. And the people that are producing this on both sides, they know that. They're not ignorant people. The people at the FDA, the people at MidAmerica Dairies, the people at the CDC, they all know what I'm telling you. Because it's all out there in the literature. And there's literature that's been written now for 100 years on both sides of this subject matter over here. So it isn't that either side is ignorant as to the ups and downs or the pros and cons of raw milk versus pasteurized milk. The only people that are ignorant is John Q. Public, that goes to public school. Now, he doesn't know whether his hind end is bored or punched. That's the bottom line. He hadn't got a clue. I had a guy here the other day, and a student here in school. He's going to tech school, and here at the school, we bring you cookies and milk, you know, during break time. And so he's drinking raw milk for the first time in his life. And so he called home, told his girlfriend that he had been drinking raw milk. And she gasped in horror and said, "Surely you must boil it before you drink it." And he said, no, they drink it raw here. See? And he was kind of amazed and surprised. And so he went back and says, "Well, we can buy raw milk in Texas. In fact, they sell it there. Many states have laws where you can buy raw milk from the farm." Not all, but many states do. I think about half the states do. So you could come out to the farm here in Missouri, for instance, and you can buy raw milk from the producer. I'm not sure that I would want to buy raw milk from the producers that produce milk, because most cows are dirty cows. That is, they've been shot up. They're continually shot up, they're fed bypass protein, and they're fed a monotonous diet to produce a monotonous product. You see, milk should be like honey. Honey, depending upon where the bees are foraging, has a different taste. Milk depends upon where the cow is foraging, and the milk will have a different taste. And you need to learn and understand what these tastes are and how that milk works and why it is such a nutritious product. And why Americans in general are a bunch of sickies. It's because you got bad food. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a panacea that if you drink raw milk, that this raw milk is going to cure all your diseases. We've already been through that. If you're drinking dirty raw milk, you're going to get a bad end result. If you're drinking dirty pasteurized milk, you're going to get a bad end result. If you're drinking clean pasteurized milk, you're going to get a bad end result. The only milk you can drink is clean, raw milk. And I emphasize the word clean. That is, your cows don't have any shots or vaccinations. And they're on pasture that hasn't been sprayed with heavy pesticides and chemicals. And on pasture that is not chemically fertilized, that is naturally fertilized. And cows that don't have disease. Now, a cow can have tuberculosis. They can be a diseased cow. If the cow is getting good nutrition, the cow's immune system will suppress the TB, and the immune factors that are in the raw milk will inoculate the milk and protect you from the TB. So God has designed and built into this product called milk. As William Campbell Douglas says, the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized. and it's designed that way. And it's a neat product, and you should educate yourself to it, you know, if you've got a mind to. And you can get a good education on real milk and real milk articles from the webpage website, www.realmilk.com. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here, and then we'll be back, and we'll take a look at an article that was put out on Nightline and the rebuttal to it from the Real Milk people when we come back. All right, let me give you this information. You have been listening to, or you are right now listening to, the Law Hour and editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to the website georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement only. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, health, history, economics, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school also offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, if you'd like to order one, just call us and, and tell us you want it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, I'll give that to you one more time. That's the area code 417-273-4967. Here's a neat article here. realmilk.com note. We have included this story written by ABC News as the basis for their broadcast on Nightline and World News Tonight. However, we have included our rebuttal to some of the statements that they've made and our links to more information to fill in what they leave out of the story. Realmilk.com rebuttals and additions are indented and colored in blue. Remember, this article comes from realmilk.com. Now, I mentioned to you that everybody that's involved in this debate is fully informed as to the pros and cons on both sides of the issue. Now, what's being reported, though, is skewered. And this is called the white horse of Revelation 6. Remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse? See, people are very, very, you know, tuned in to the pale horse, the black horse, the red horse. They're tuned into those. The white horse is the horse of deception. Deception. And the white horse kills more people than the other three combined. More of you people will be killed from the white horse of deception than will be killed from the famine, the war, or the disease. And deception is very, very subtle. really subtle. And when you've been deceived, you will act upon your deception, and you'll go out and kill yourself and believe that you're doing God a service in the process. You'll love it. It's like listening to Franklin D. Roosevelt. My dad said you could listen to that lying SOB and believe every word he said and love it. You knew he was lying to you, but, you know, it sounded so good that you couldn't contain yourself. Now, on April 27th, 2007, once a week on a suburban driveway outside of Tampa, Florida, a society of Floridians gathers to defy health warnings and purchase a product that they have been repeatedly warned could kill them. "I'll do whatever it takes to get the milk," said Steve Moreau, who said he drives 3 hours to get his hands on this raw milk product. But he isn't searching for regular grocery store milk. Moreau and many others, ranging from parents to professionals, are buying raw milk, untreated, unprocessed, unpasteurized, straight from the cow. You can watch the full story on Nightline. Of course, this is past tense. And raw milk drinkers say that that's not just a few people who are drinking it. They say it's a movement of people who want to feel healthier. Drinking unpasteurized milk for good health might sound peculiar, especially in the age of deadly spinach. The process of pasteurization kills germs that cause salmonella and E. coli. All right, let me pause right here and make my editorial comment. That's a true statement. Pasteurizing milk kills E. coli and salmonella bacteria. It also kills the enzyme that you have to digest the milk, which is the only purpose for drinking milk, is to get the nutrients out of it. And boys and girls, once the enzyme is killed, the milk is dead. It is a useless industrial chemical. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, if you want to drink motor oil, 30 weight, Havoline, you know, you'll get just about as much nutritional value out of it as you will out of milk that's been pasteurized and homogenized. So why don't you try a little Havoline 10W30? Now, according to the FDA website, raw milk can harbor dangerous microorganisms that can pose serious health risks to you and your family. Hell, that's a true statement. You could drink water, for crying out loud, and have the same problem. Do you know that raw water, drank directly out of a stream, can harbor dangerous microorganisms that can pose serious health risks to you and your family? Yeah. Boys and girls, you got to be careful where you drink water. You don't know who might have done something upstream. So, it's a fear tactic. Remember, human beings are motivated by five motivators. It's vanity, number one, jealousy, number two, lust, number three, greed, number four, and fear, number five. And so what are they trying to sell here? My God, if you drink this raw milk, it could harbor dangerous organisms. Well, of course it could. So could your spinach. So could all kinds of stuff that you buy every day out of the grocery store. Where in the hell do you think those people got the tainted spinach, for crying out loud? Where do you think the people get the salmonella and the E. coli? Don't they get it from Big Boy Burgers? Come on, kids, grow up! Alright, so you can get disease from raw milk. Now, hell, we discovered that back in 1895. But you don't get it out of clean raw milk, and that's the distinguishing characteristic. Now, how do you know this milk that you're buying here? See, what's not being brought out here, these people are meeting in a parking lot in Tampa, Florida. They're going to buy raw milk. How do they know that this raw milk is clean? I don't know. I'd be a little dubious if you just wanted my personal opinion, you know, buying raw milk out of a parking lot. It's nothing personal, you know. I'd kind of like to know the guy that was producing my milk. I'd kind of like to go out to the farm and take a look at his operation and say, "Hey, Bob, what kind of milk you got here?" And blah, 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 you know. If it comes from a black and white cow, we call that Blue John. If you want to buy Blue John raw, that's your privilege in life. I wouldn't drink the crap if you gave it to me. Now, I'm a raw milk drinker, but I'm kind of discriminating in the raw milk that I drink. No, I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. Raw milk, you know, isn't a panacea. Although pasteurized milk is deadly poison, raw milk is not necessarily the cure-all to all disease. And so the health people here, they're not lying to you. They're just not telling you the whole truth. They don't give you all the facts. They're trying to scare you out of raw milk. I'm not trying to scare you into it or out of it. I don't really care whether you drink raw milk or not. It's no skin off my back one way or the other. I'm not selling you any raw milk, am I? I don't have any vested interest in it one way or the other. Now, realmilk.com's rebuttal is this. It is possible for raw milk to harbor dangerous microorganisms. But it is possible for any food, raw or pasteurized, to harbor dangerous microorganisms. We do not advocate drinking unpasteurized milk from modern Holsteins bred to produce high volumes of milk, injected with recombinant bovine growth hormone, and raised in commercial feedlots where they are crowded and stressed and given antibiotics to keep them from being sick. That milk does need to be pasteurized to lessen, not eliminate, but lessen the possibility of foodborne illness. We advocate the drinking of raw milk from old-fashioned breeds of cows raised on pasture with plenty of green grass, sunshine, and room to move, properly raised and milked in clean conditions. This milk is extremely unlikely to harbor dangerous microorganisms. In fact, less likely than commercial pasteurized milk. See our page 2 raw milks for comparison. And also note the second comment below regarding the relative safety of all dairy compared to other foods. Now here's another statement that came from Nightline. And they said, in the last decade, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has documented more than 1,000 cases of foodborne illness and 2 deaths, all caused by unpasteurized dairy products. Oh, God. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read it to you again. In the last decade, that's 10 years, in a period of 10 years, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has documented more than 1,000 cases of foodborne illness and 2 deaths. I'm going to underline 2 deaths. That's one every 5 years. Caused by unpasteurized dairy products. Held the pasteurized dairy products killed more than that and injured more people than that. Pasteurized products killed and injured more people than that. And we're going to take that as being true. Boys and girls, if it only killed 2 people and you only had 1,000 incidents in 10 years, let's just try this out. 1,000, that's 100 incidents a year. That's one every 3 days. Or less. That is so minuscule. That would make me want to buy raw milk just from that perspective alone. If that's all the damage it did over that period of time, that's a pretty safe product. That's a better safety record than the pasteurization of the milk. Now, therealmilk.com has this statement. It says, this statement is incorrect. The CDC's reminder that the ABC reporters are quoting cites a single reference. The CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report for the week of March 2, 2007. Provides no such information, nor is any such information found in any other FDA or CDC document. Numerous requests to the FDA for clarification have not been answered. So number one argument that Real Milk puts out is, they said, where did you get the information that raw milk caused 2 deaths and 1,000 cases of foodborne illness in 10 years? And the CDC and the FDA could not produce the documentation for it. And I just made my comment. I said, hell, if that's all it killed was 2 people and 1,000 incidents in 10 years, that's a better safety record than comes out of pasteurized milk, for crying out loud. There are more than 2 deaths that are documented from pasteurized milk. In fact, last time I saw some numbers. In the United States, pasteurized milk causes somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 incidents. It kills 6 or 8 or 10 people a year, pasteurized milk does, and puts people in the hospital, you know, probably 200 or 300 every year. Pasteurized milk does that. Tuck that one away in your heart. So even assuming that they eventually provide evidence for their statement, the CDC is stating only that raw milk was implicated in these cases of foodborne illness. An association with raw milk is not the same as saying that raw milk caused the foodborne illness, as the ABC reporters have stated. It means that in each of the outbreaks leading to the cause of foodborne illness, one of the foods that many, not necessarily all, had eaten in common is raw milk. The FDA and the CDC have a double standard when it comes to raw milk, and they may stop looking for a cause as soon as they can claim an association with raw milk. So see our press release. The FDA and the CDC bias against raw milk. No facts provided in recent reminder about raw milk consumption. For more information about this. Now, meanwhile, this ABC story also leaves out the fact that the CDC has data showing that all dairy, raw or pasteurized, is actually far less likely to be a source of foodborne illness than nearly any other food. Dairy accounts for only 1% of all foodborne illnesses. The number one source of foodborne illness, accounting for 38% of all cases, according to the CDC's data, is produce. I'm going to underline that. Produce. Now, when you go to the grocery store and you buy produce, you know, your leafy spinach, cabbage, lettuce, etc., 38% now of all cases, according to the CDC, this is the Center for Disease Control, more than a third comes from produce off the produce counter. Well, Jesus, don't you think we ought to pasteurize all the produce then? Well, most of you people do it anyway, because, see, you take your produce home and you boil it and kill all the enzymes in it anyway. That's why cancer is called the cooked food disease. I mean, if you're going to eat produce, you ought to eat it raw. That is, raw cabbage in coleslaw rather than corned beef and cabbage, which boils the cabbage and kills all the enzymes. Just throwing that out for your consideration. Now, raw milk and raw milk product safety, health, economic, and legal issues is where that comes from. It's a PowerPoint presentation called Raw Milk and Raw Milk Products. And you get that from www.realmilk.com. Now here's another statement. But raw milk devotees say the benefits outweigh the risks. Now Christine Tyrell has been feeding her family raw milk for 3 years. I really do feel we've seen medical benefits from this. My children are not as sick as they used to be. That's very, very, very good observation by the part on our, or at least on the part of this lady. Let me tell you a little story here. We feed four lambs out here in a cage, and we feed them a ration that comes from Purina. See, from time to time, your ewes die, or they become orphaned. You know, a ewe will have twins. And she'll take one and she rejects the other. It's a natural process. She's only got enough milk for one, so she takes the most vigorous one and then she lets him suck and won't let the other one suck. And so I go out, bleeding heart liberal that I am, and I see this little lamb out here who's been rejected by his mother. And I feel sorry for the little sucker. So I pick him up in my loving arms and I bring him up to the house and my wife gives him rescue remedy and we warm him up by the stove. And now what are we going to do with this little lammy? Well, now we got a bottle to feed him. And so you got to have some milk to do this. And so there's a formula, a ration that you get from Purina, scientifically balanced. It's the closest thing that you can get to use milk. All right. Now we feed this little lamb, and I got four of them out there right now, and these four little lambies are on this ration. And all four of them are little, sick, weak, runty mutts, is what they are. That's the best we can do with what we've got. And so this lady here makes the same comparison. She's been feeding her children for 3 years now on raw milk, and she notices that they're not as runty, as sick, as runny-nosed as they used to be, which is precisely the case. That's what we've noticed here on the farm also. You just compare the one that's sucking on the mama and the one that's... Now, here's another little trick you can do. As soon as these little lambs get up to where they can drink milk, you know, they get a little bigger, we take them off of the ration, then we give them straight cow's milk. Now, these are sheep. No, we're going to give them the cow's milk when they get up to about 2 months old. And then when you give them the raw cow's milk, they will catch up with the ones that are on the ewes. And that's what this lady is noticing. You know, once she got them off of the formula and she started giving them raw cow's milk, she notices that they're catching up. They'll never be as big and strong as the ones on the ewes, but they'll catch up. And they'll close the gap is what they'll do. Now, some people argue the changes felt drinking raw milk might be psychosomatic. Now, I don't deny that. They might be. All I know is I feel better, said Alan Patello. And another raw milk drinker says raw milk cured his digestive problems. Well, at realmilk.com, we get letters regularly from people attesting to the health benefits that they see arising from switching to raw milk. Read our raw milk testimonials as well as additional testimonials in our June 2006 campaign for Real Milk Appeal. The foundation's membership includes many medical doctors, dentists, chiropractors, naturopaths, acupuncturists, and other health professionals who drink raw milk and recommend it to their patients. All right, let me pause right here and point out to you that notice here that there are many medical doctors that drink raw milk. And dentists that drink raw milk, and chiropractors, and naturopaths, and acupuncturists, and other health professionals. Let me ask you this. Do you think that these health professionals are out of touch with reality? That they have not read any of the literature on pasteurized and raw milk? And that they're just out of touch with reality, and that they're dumb? Is that what you're thinking? No, to the contrary. These people are very, very knowledgeable people. Now, let's take the other side. Let's take the doctors who are drinking pasteurized milk. I don't know of any doctors that drink pasteurized milk. I have doctors that come into my classes, and I oftentimes ask them, Doc, do you drink pasteurized milk? And they'll say, no, I don't drink milk at all. In fact, the medical doctors will tell you that milk is bad for you. I can't ever remember talking to an MD in any of my classes that ever recommended milk. In fact, everyone that I can recall will tell you plainly, milk is bad for you. I don't recommend milk for my patients at all. So they're not recommending raw or pasteurized milk. Medical doctors recognize that milk causes disease, that it plugs you up. That's pasteurized milk. That's not raw milk. And you people out there listening to me right now don't have anything to compare it with because you've never drank raw milk in your life. Wouldn't know where to get it. Most of you people could go out and get cocaine today and wouldn't have a clue as to where to get raw milk. You know, I have students that come in here and they tell me, hell, you can get cocaine, heroin, or marijuana easier than you can find raw milk. Raw milk is rarer than heroin in America. It's more rare than heroin. Well, I don't know that. I got plenty of raw milk myself because I produce my own, but I've never tried to buy heroin. I wouldn't have a clue as to where I might go to get some. But my students come in here and tell me that they can get heroin. I don't have a problem with that. So I guess it's all in knowing where to go buy the product. Now, as I said earlier, you know, I sell cows, clean cows, to families who want to produce their own milk. That's my recommendation. I think that you're better off producing your own because you know how clean this milk is. And you know what your cow is eating because you know what you're feeding your cow or letting her eat. And if I said it once, let me say it again. If 9,000 families had 9,000 milk cows, we would all be healthier and happier than to allow one dairyman to have 9,000 milk cows and us all go to the store and buy his milk. Because see, this one guy producing milk for 9,000 families, he's an industrial He's an industrialist, and he's producing an industrial product, and he really doesn't care about the cleanliness or the nutritive value of it. I do, because I produce it for my own family. But this guy doesn't care. And when I was in the business, I didn't care. See, a corn farmer, when he's out producing corn, he's only interested in bins and bushels. He's not interested in the nutritive value of the corn. Now, of course, if he was growing this corn for himself, when I'm growing corn out in my raised beds, out in my own garden, I'm very concerned about the nutritive value of the produce that I'm feeding to my family. And then, to be fair, there are people out there that do care. And that's the guy you want to buy your milk from. Go talk to the guy. You'll get a feel for the way this guy takes care of, the way he treats his cows, the way he takes care of his cows, the way he feeds his cows, the product that he gets out of his cows. If I had confidence in the producer who was producing the milk, I would buy the milk myself. Because having a cow takes time, effort, and energy. It takes labor. And every day I got to stop, you know, and I got to say, well, I got to go milk the cow. It's milking time. And I go out and I milk the cow. Now, I enjoy it and I have a good time doing it. I just wanted to point out that if you have an appointment with the dentist and then you got to milk the cow, you know, it interferes with your daily routine. Oh, gee, I'm late for work and I got to milk the cow before I leave for the job. I mean, come on. Let's be intelligent people. Let me give you a couple of reading assignments here. Acres USA is number one. You want to go to Acres USA. Get a subscription. It's $27 a year. And they're right on the cutting edge of organics. This is the number one paper in the country. There's a lot of organic material out there. I'm not saying they're the only ones or that they're... I just think that they're better and more convenient and cheaper than everybody else. And you'll get more news and more information from Acres USA. And you can call them direct here. Their number is 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. And their post office box is 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709-1299. Once more, that's post office box 91299, Austin, Texas. And the zip code is 78709. -1299. Now that's number one. The second one over here is called www.realmilk.com. And they'll put out about, oh, I don't know, I probably have 10 articles here off their webpage. And they will give you some of the real hard-hitting facts concerning raw milk versus pasteurized milk if you're interested. You can get the information yourself, and then you'll know that what you've got there is the truth, and that there isn't somebody that's pulling your leg or trying to sell you a bill of goods. I'm about out of time here again, kids. I'm going to have to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.